Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. To review, Chapter 15 began the second cycle of the dialogues in Iyov. Eliphaz HaTemani, the first friend to speak in the first set, was the first to respond to Iyov in the second round of discussions as well. In his speech, Eliphaz rebuked Iyov by highlighting Iyov's insistence that there is no divine providence in the world. He criticized Iyov for speaking words against God that influence other people to deny divine justice and divine intervention in the world. And to Iyov's complaint that he was never rewarded for all the good deeds that he performed? Of course, Iyov was rewarded for them in the earlier years of his life. So there is divine justice and fair play in the world. How do we see divine providence, says Eliphaz? We see that the wicked always fail. And even during their time of success, they fear retribution from God. This was an implication of Iyov, who brought sacrifices to atone for the sins of his sons. These worries do not haunt the righteous, said Eliphaz. So Eliphaz repeated the same ideas he proposed earlier. They are more forceful, but the ideas were similar. Eliphaz wanted to demonstrate to Iyov that his answers did not impress him at all or change his mind one iota about Iyov and his plight. Iyov chapter 16. Iyov responds to Eliphaz. Verse 2. Shamati ka'ele rabot. Menachamei amal kulchem. I have heard such things many times before. You are not telling me anything new. You are all worthless and tiresome consolers and comforters. Mitzudat David defines these words even further. I have heard these speeches time and time again. Why are you repeating your words of futility that I should repent? And then my life will be better. I'm telling you, says Iyov, I have not sinned. And constantly telling me about the punishment of the wicked is not moving me to repent. Furthermore, we see in the verse that Iyov is criticizing the friends for being terrible consolers. Their job was to comfort him and console him. And instead, they are attacking him. They're not doing their job. Iyov continues in verse 3 and 4. Haketz ledivrei ruach. Oma yamritzcha kita'ane. Is there no end to your bluster? Ruach, hot wind, hot air. We saw that earlier. Eliphaz accused Iyov of being full of hot air. But now Iyov turns the accusation back on Eliphaz that he is filled with hot air. Iyov also adds, what is compelling you to answer me in such a combative way? Like, what do you want from me? Why are you fighting with me? What does it bother you that I'm suffering? Be nice. Lu yesh nafshechem tachat nafshi, achbira alechem bimilim. Ve'ania aleichem b'morosh. If our positions were reversed, and I was the comforter, says Iyov, and you were the mourners, I would compose beautiful words of consolation. I would nod my head to show you my sympathy and my empathy. I would say encouraging words. And then I would know when to stop speaking. Iyov says, if our positions were reversed, I would be a good comforter. I would know how to give consolation, not like you guys. Iyov continues in verse 6. because you are not sensitive to my anguish and are not helpful as comforters, pouring out my heart in words is useless. So I really should not even be talking to you, because you're just making my situation worse." Eov is very disappointed with his friend's attitude towards his plight. Harold Kushner, in his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, writes, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, and this is on page 43, he speaks about Eov. "The friends start out truly wanting to comfort Job and make him feel better. They try to reassure him by quoting all the maxims of faith and confidence on which they and Job alike were raised. They want to comfort Job by telling him that the world, in fact, makes sense and is not chaotic. But the only way they can make sense of the world is to decide that he is deserving of his suffering. This is an insult to the bereaved and the sufferer to tell them, 'You deserve this. Oh, you have cancer? You deserve this. Your young child died? You deserve this. Oh, there was a freak accident? Obviously, you deserve this. God did this.' But it is hard for the friends to say anything else. The friends want to believe in God's goodness and power. If Job is innocent, then God is guilty of making an innocent man suffer. So it is easier to believe that Job is not good." Kushner continues, "The friends also might not be objective. Their emotions are mixed with feelings of guilt and relief that these misfortunes befell Job and not them. The German psychological term, Schadenfreude, is the reaction of relief when something bad happens to someone else instead of us. When we see tragedy, 'It could have been me,' is the initial response. And then we silence it in our head by saying, 'No, that's not true. There's a reason why it happened to them and not me.' Blaming the victim makes evil not seem so irrational. Job is not willing to keep the world theologically neat and admit he is a villain. Eov is sure about himself that he is not a villain or a bad person. He might not be perfect, but he is not much worse than others that he should deserve to lose his home, his children, his wealth, his health, while others get to keep all those things. Job wishes there were an umpire to mediate between himself and God." Harold Kushner's words eloquently depict Eov's issues with the friends and our issues with friends who are suffering, or we're the person who are suffering. People don't know what to say. What is there to say? And when people rationalize, they make you feel bad because they're giving a reason why you are suffering. Do they know? Do they know why this baby died? Do they know why this person almost died? Do they know why this person is ill? It is something that affects us every single day in our lives. In the continuation of the chapter, Eov depicts his awful plight. We're back to the text, with some words paralleling Echa. "Me'ai chamarmaru, my insides are in turmoil," chapter 1, verse 20 in Lamentations, over the destruction of the temple. Here in Eov, verse 16, in our chapter 16, "Panai chamarmaru, mini vechi, ve'al afapai tzalmavet. My face is red and wrinkled from weeping, and death's shadows are upon my eyelids." The same depiction of the destruction and Eov's life. "But I don't deserve this," cries out Eov, verse 17. Alo chamas bechapi, utfilati zaka. But for no iniquity in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Eretz, al techasi dami, ve'al yehi makom lezaakati. Earth, do not conceal my blood. Let there not be a place for my wailing. This is a phrase that is used all the time when it talks about the Holocaust or when soldiers die on the battlefield. Eretz, land, earth, al techasi dami, don't conceal my blood. I am innocent. My prayers are pure. God, how can you do this to me? Rashi explains that Eov wants his protestations to ascend to heaven and not be swallowed up by the earth. A reference to Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel. When Cain killed Hevel, God rebuked Cain and told him that his brother's blood is screaming to the heavens from the earth. Kol dmei achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama. In the end of the chapter, Eov is crying out to God to hear him because God is his witness. Eov is disappointed in man but desperately wants an answer and validation from God. Gam ata hine bashamayim edi v'shadai bamromim. Even now, despite all this torment, my witness is in heaven. If only I could debate with God like a man and his friends debate. Verse 21. V'yochach legever im Eloha uven adam l're'ehu. I want to argue with God like friends argue with each other. To sum up, in this chapter, Eov responds to the second round of Eliphaz's criticism and is tired of everyone acting holier than thou, self-righteous and smug about their opinions on divine justice, and spouting about Eov's clear guilt, which is proven by his suffering. He is disappointed by their accusations and lack of empathy and sensitivity. He realizes that he can't complain about his plight to them, so he is addressing God and delineating the details of his suffering. And Eov still holds out the hope that he will be able to have a dialogue with God like one has with his fellow man. Next time, we will learn chapter 17. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.